Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
Couple of minutes after 8 o'clock, it is a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show, and that was Stevie Ray Vaughan in the background, a friend of mine from Texas. I got another friend from Texas on the line here. She is the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services. We welcome her in for our Wednesday conversation, Laureen Gilbert. Hi, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. Good to be here.
It's great to have you on the program this morning. And just a note for our audience that you do the coolest things. When you and I talk before we go on, I learned so many things about you. You are right now, may I tell the audience what you're doing?
Sure.
All right. You are in the middle of a healthy cleanse, of a fast. Is this correct?
I am. I'm in a juice fast right now for 3 days, and I'm in the second day. Right. Thankfully, my head still feels okay, but the first 2 days of the regular cleanse was difficult, just trying to get off of my matcha green tea.
Right. Oh, there, you realize, wow, I really do depend on this green tea then, huh?
I do. And yet, you know, matcha is good for you, but right. Still, to be off of any of that for a week, this is a week-long program that I'm doing. It's good. It's right. Good to do every once in a while.
Yeah, it is. You know, again, it's good for the body, and you clearly you'll end up on the other side of this feeling phenomenal, I'm sure.
I hope so.
Okay, we're all crossing our fingers over here.
Right.
If not, I've got a big batch of matcha green tea here for you.
Okay.
I've always been a bad influence to friends. So we are waiting for 11 o'clock this morning. It's big news. You and I spoke about it last week. The Federal Reserve is expected to raise interest rates at 11 this morning by what we talked about last week was 0.75 percentage point. That would make it the third consecutive time. Is there a chance it might be a full percentage point?
There's definitely a chance, Ed, but the probabilities are still at 75 basis points. And there's been a lot of discussion leading up to this meeting, you know, what should the Fed do and what will the Fed do? And we can never, you know, second guess them. It could be 75 basis points. It could be 1%. The thought of just doing the 1% is to go ahead and be forceful. The thought against that 1% is that each time the Federal Reserve raises rates, it impacts everybody. It impacts consumers. It impacts businesses. It impacts, obviously, the whole economy. And so with that, what I think they're trying to do is be forceful enough without a big hammer, without being so forceful that it just shuts down the economy completely. And this week, we actually had good numbers out of housing. The housing starts numbers were surprisingly good this week. So that kind of broke the streak of, July and in August, those housing starts were up 12.2%, beating expectations. So very interesting at a time when, you know, we've still got the interest rates going up. And so what it's done is it's caused more of a pause with a lot of people as they're purchasing homes, but we still have starts on housing continuing to be built.
Okay. I'm reading that some economists think that shocking the markets is a good thing. Is it?
Well, that's kind of what I was saying. You know, there's two different thoughts. There's the 75 basis point thought, which is, okay, markets by now are expecting that.
Right.
That's already priced into the markets. And if we have 75 basis points, and you never know which way it's going to go, but it may cause the markets to then rally a little bit out of that 75 because that's what it's expected.
Right.
And then other pundits are saying, let's go ahead and, like you said, kind of shock the markets, cause more of a repricing to the downside so that our valuations on stocks are, you know, getting lower and lower as the repricing happens, which then allows us to then start on a path again of the stock market eventually going up again. So as those reprice, and just let me put in here right now that, you know, many areas of the market are becoming very attractive. And in fact, you've heard me talk a lot about value stocks and dividend paying stocks. In addition to that, we're actually seeing growth stocks that have been hammered so much because of the repricing that many growth stocks are also becoming very attractive. Because what we expect is in 2023 to resume normalized earnings growth numbers. And even 2022 is going to be that more normalized earning growth numbers. What we saw in 2021 was this spike in earnings growth because it was coming off such a low. Now that we've worked through a year of that, right, now we're getting back to normalized earning growth numbers. We expect that to continue in 2023 and 2024. With that, that gives opportunities again for growth stocks.
Beautifully explained. Thank you. Thank you. So as I passed by the gas station on my way into work this morning, I saw that gas jumped overnight by 8 cents here in Orange County. And I guess it stopped the 99-day gas prices going down road that we were on. But that's, I guess, because the energy prices, the natural gas prices, after they're going up because Putin called up more troops to bolster Russia's struggling offense in the Ukraine. But are our gas prices, are they that reflexive that they could have gone down overnight?
Yeah, so Putin is actually threatening nuclear war, which is, you know, that is a direct, you know, that's a response to the talk of a nuclear war. You're going to see energy prices spike because that means uncertainty when it comes to energy flows.
Right. So the moment he even hinted at that yesterday, they took note.
Yeah. And what happens, as you've just noted, is that those gas prices come up really fast, and then it takes it a while. They come down more slowly. They go up fast and come down slowly.
All right. Okay. We'll keep our eye there, and we'll keep our eye on that crazy guy over in Russia. European investment in China has fallen sharply, and just a handful of Europe's corporate giants are continuing to meaningfully invest in China now. And that reflects a waning interest in the huge market that China had, and they're facing global trade tensions. We know what it means for China and how bad that's going to affect their markets. What does it mean for us?
Well, the United States had already taken measures to delist Chinese stocks, and U.S. companies have stopped much of their investment over there. So really what's happening, Ed, is Europe is following our footsteps on steps that we've already taken. So we were ahead of them in that. What is troubling is what we're seeing is, you know, the world is kind of blocking out China. And then what does China do in response to that? You know, the Chinese-Russian relationship and them meeting in person, who knows how long they've actually been meeting. You know, we just heard of one that was announced and happened, but who knows if that had been happening all along. So we don't know. But what we do know is it causes those two countries to form a relationship that could be, you know, powerful and detrimental. Right. And so that's just an economic consideration for sure. And of course, global security concern. But as far as markets are concerned, like I said, the U.S. has already taken those steps. Now Europe is taking those steps. And that's positive in that we couldn't really trust what was going on over there because their accounting standards are not like our accounting standards are. And so because of that, the numbers that have been coming out of China for years, we've not really been able to see under the hood and know if those things were true.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that, by the way. JP Morgan Chase, Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan, plans to say today, this morning, the heads of the, by the way, this morning, the heads of the nation's seven largest banks are in Washington, and they're giving 2 days of testimony. And this morning, Jamie Dimon plans to say that regulations have made banks play it too safe with capital requirements, and it puts them at a disadvantage against foreign competitors. Explain that for us. What's he talking about?
So after 08, we had major financial requirements for banks that changed significantly, and much more was required to hold in reserves for banks. And that's made it hard all the way from the big banks, like the JP Morgans of the world, down to the smaller banks, because that means, let's say I even have a line of credit that I'm not using for my business. Let's say I have a $100,000 line of credit.
Okay.
But I'm not actually using that line of credit. It's sitting there waiting for me, but I haven't used it. Banks are required to reserve for even that unused
right.
amount of line of credit. And it's become so much that it has become difficult for our U.S. banks. Now, there was a reason for implementing those things. But as many times happens with regulations, after some kind of disaster like the great financial crisis that we had in 08, people tend to go too far the other direction.
Right.
And regulations tend to go too far. And I agree with JP Morgan. I think that the regulations did go too far. And I think they need it to be somewhere in the middle. So where is that, right? That's what they've got to figure out. How can they maybe ease some of that, but not make it a situation where we could have a repeat of 08?
Right. And the other side would say, well, hey, JP Morgan, you made $48 billion in profit in the last fiscal years, and China's biggest bank made $2 billion, well, if you can trust those numbers. But that's what the other side would say. You're saying find somewhere in the middle.
Find somewhere in the middle with reserve requirements.
Okay. All right.
So that is very important. And like I said, it's not just the big banks. It's all the way down to your local, regional, community bank that has the same, they also have reserve requirements. So it's affecting everyone, and it has handcuffed them too much. And there is a middle of the road that we can get to.
Okay. And I mention this every week to you on and off air. I absolutely love talking to you. I always love learning what we, within the subjects that I think I know, well, all of a sudden I find new stuff out. You're hosting a webinar coming up on September 27th, 4:30 in the afternoon. What is 529 month?
So 529 plans are college education plans. And September is 529 month. And yet that is the traditional use of a 529 plan, is simply for college education. But our webinar is going to be about non-traditional uses of 529. And so I hope that the listeners here will want to attend. It is 4:30 p.m. on September 27th, 4:30 Pacific time.
Oh, you know they're going to, so non-traditional. You're always walking the edge. I love that. How do our
listeners? Always finding new ways for people to, maximize their wealth is what we're looking for. How do we help people do that?
That's why we appreciate you so much. So how do our listeners tune into the webinar?
So they can probably email us at info@wealthwisefinancial.com, and we will send out the Zoom information for the webinar. They can reach us at wealthwisefinancial.com on our website, or give us a call at 949-748-1177.
All right. As always, we thank you for your time, Laureen. We wish you the very best in this cleansing. I can't wait to talk to you next week. And I also can't wait to talk to you about today's Federal Reserve move next week.
There's always big news on Wednesdays, it seems, right?
It does seem that way. I absolutely love it. Laureen Gilbert, she's the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services. We thank you so much for being here today, Laureen.
Thank you, Ed. Have a great day.
You as well. 8:20 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.